Good afternoon.
What?
Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1.
请翻开圣经到彼得前书。
We'll be looking at verses 3, 4, and 5.
我们今天会看第三到第五节。
Letters in the New Testament times followed a certain pattern.
在圣经新约时期的书信都有一种格式。
This was true in the secular culture.
在世俗和信约里的书信都是用有这种格式。
We find this in the New Testament as well.
新约书信也是用这种格式。
The opening lines contain first the author of the letter.
书信开头就是作者自己的名字。
Next, the writer would name the addressee.
然后才称呼收件人。
Then there was a brief word of greeting.
最后就是几句简单的问候。
The New Testament letters follow this pattern.
新约书信都是用这种格式。
The words of greeting, however, were distinctly Christian.
不过当中的问候语都是基督徒所惯用的。
Also, many times additional special information was added to the description of the author or the recipients of the letter.
但有些时候，书信作者会对作者自己和受信人加上额外的描述。
The culture of the day was essentially religious, although pagan.
当代的人是虔诚的，但是他们拜的都是偶像。
In their letters, they generally included some word of praise or thanksgiving to their deities.
在非基督徒的书信里面，一般会加上一些赞美那些偶像的话。
Most of the New Testament letters are similar.
新约的书信也是如此。
The authors follow the salutation with a word of praise or thanksgiving to God.
作者们都会在问候语后面加上一些赞美或感谢上帝的话语。
Some of these are very long.
有些时候那些话是蛮长的。
Peter follows this pattern in his first inspired letter.
彼得前书用了这一种格式。
Beginning with verse 3, Peter gives praise to God for the salvation which God has provided.
第三节开始，彼得颂赞上帝所赐的救恩。
It's difficult to set a point when Peter ends this opening praise.
但是这段颂赞语在书信的哪里结束呢？这一点是比较难下定论的。
He moves quite smoothly into the main body of the letter.
但是作者的文笔也很自然的颂赞的话，从颂赞的话进到书信的主体内容。
For our purposes, I've chosen to end the section with verse 12.
我今天把第十二节作者这段话语来做一个结束。
Verse 13 begins with the first command and is clearly into his main text.
第十三节开始进入主体，开始阐述第一道的命令。
Through chapter 2, verse 10, Peter is discussing our salvation.
从第二节到第十节，彼得都是在谈论救恩这个题目。
Such a salvation as we have in Christ demands our praise.
耶稣基督的这份救恩是配得我们赞美的。
A salvation that rests in this type of hope which we have demands action.
但因为从救恩而来的盼望，我们必须有相应的行动。
The action is described in verses 13 to 25 of chapter 1.
就是行动在第一章13到25节有记载。
Then finally, our salvation demands growth, which is described in chapter 2.
以致我们生命有所成长。
And this morning, we will begin to look at the reasons related to our salvation, reasons for praising God.
今天下午我们要一起来看为什么我们要赞美上帝的原因。
I've identified 6 in this passage, but we will only look at the first 4.
我个人认为有6点，但是我们今天讨论当中的4点。
And as we do so, please remember that those receiving this letter were suffering under persecution.
请别忘记这封信的收件人当时是在受逼迫当中。
Peter has this in mind even as he writes this praise to God.
作者彼得深深明白这一点。
His words have special meaning for those who are suffering for Christ.
不止他的话语对受逼迫的信徒来讲有特别的意义。
2 weeks ago, I received a letter requesting prayer for a missionary being interrogated by the police.
两个礼拜之前，我收到一封代祷信，祷告的事项是为一位被警察审问的宣教士代祷。
They were accusing the missionary of having shared Jesus Christ with someone who was not a Christian.
他们指控这位宣教士对非基督徒宣讲耶稣。
I learned the update of that this morning.
我今天收到一个最新的消息。
That missionary was given 24 hours to leave the country.
那个宣教士在命令在24小时之内要离开这个国家。
And she was with us today in our church service this morning.
今天早晨她到她的教会里面做礼拜。
Her husband and son are still in the home country.
她的丈夫和儿子还在这个国家里面。
Most of us would not be taken by the police for doing that.
今天也许我们没有这样的遭遇。
Nevertheless, you might suffer some type of persecution for following Jesus.
但你可能因为跟随耶稣受到不同程度的迫害。
That same week, our daughter was mobbed in school.
也是两周之前，我们的女儿在学校里面给孩子。
She had refused to lie.
她拒绝撒谎。
Other students wanted to pretend that they didn't know about a class.
其他同学都装作没有上某一节课。
They wanted to skip it so they could avoid a test.
因为他们想逃避不用对这个课做出考试。
And she planned on attending.
但是她女儿已经准备好这个考试。And
others turned against her.
所以其他人都跟她反目。
Following Jesus Christ wholeheartedly can bring persecution.
当完全信靠耶稣的时候，很多时候会被。Can we
still praise God in the midst of it?
但是在我们受逼迫的时候，我们还能赞美上帝吗？
The first reason to praise God are found in verse 3.
第一个要赞美上帝的原因在第三节可以找得到。
First, God has caused us to be born again.
上帝使我们重生。
The cause to be born again is a literal translation, which NIV renders as given us the new birth.
英语的翻译不同的版本，在中文的和合本里面的翻译是重生了我们。
The Bible describes this new birth or being born again in other passages.
圣经在其他的章节也有重生的描述。
Jesus explained it in a discussion with a man named Nicodemus.
耶稣有一次解释给一个叫尼哥德姆的人听什么叫重生。
Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin.
尼哥德姆是一位法利赛人，也是一位犹太人官。
He came to Jesus one night and asked about the things Jesus was doing.
这个人夜里来见耶稣，请教他。
Jesus responded, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again."
耶稣回答说，我实实在在告诉你，人若不重生，就不能见神的国。
This was difficult for Nicodemus to understand.
尼哥德姆觉得这句话很难懂。
How can a man be born when he is old?
他就跟耶稣说，人已经老了，如何能重生呢？
The explanation which Jesus gave helps us to understand what Peter wrote.
耶稣解释能帮我们明白彼得前书这句话的意思。
A person must be born of the Spirit to see the kingdom of God.
耶稣说，人若不是从水和圣灵重生的，就不能进神的国。
That's John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8.
约翰福音3章5到8节是这样讲。
He's not talking about a second physical birth.
耶稣在这里讲的不是从母胎第二次出生。
Being born again refers to a spiritual birth.
而是在圣灵的重生。
We were born once physically.
我们第一次是从肉体里面，从母胎出生。
We need to be born a second time spiritually.
我们需要第二次从灵里的重生。
This was something which Jesus expected Nicodemus to know.
耶稣以为尼哥德姆应该了解这一点。
You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said, and do you not understand these things?
耶稣说，你是以色列人的先生，还不明白这事吗？
That means we should find something in the Old Testament about it.
旧约圣经的记载也有相关的经文。
Ezekiel explains it in chapter 36, verses 25 to 27.
以西结书36章25到27节对于这段经文也有相关的解释。
Can you read that?
以西结书36章25节到27节，我必用清水洒在你们身上，你们就洁净了。我要洁净你们，使你们脱离一切的污秽，弃掉一切的偶像。我也要赐给你们一个新心，将心灵放在你们里面，要从你们的肉体中除掉石心，赐给你们肉心。我必将我的灵放在你们里面，使你们顺从我的律例。
God promised a radical change. In the New Testament, it's called being born again. God replaces a dead, stony, unresponsive heart with a living heart. The new living heart wants to obey God. The spirit of a person is that which lives within the body. So also at the new birth, God gives us His Spirit, and we have a new life. In Jeremiah, God speaks of the new covenant which He will make with Israel. Like in Ezekiel, God promises a new heart. One feature of this new heart is the desire to know God. This is a radical change. It requires a new birth. Now, two aspects of this new birth are highlighted in the text of Peter. First, God accomplishes the new birth. This is a logical conclusion because of the parallel. We do not cause our own physical birth. Neither can we cause our own spiritual birth. And this removes any reason for pride. Second, God gives the new birth out of mercy. Mercy, as Peter uses it, is God's compassion on our distressed condition. Jesus looked at the crowds and had compassion as he looked at them. And he looks at us with compassion. God gives the new birth not because we are good. He gives it because we need it and because He is compassionate. The new birth itself says that our first birth was not enough. Paul writes in Ephesians that we were dead in our sins. We might have had physical life, but we were lacking spiritual life. We were born separated from God. That is what it means to be spiritually dead. It required that God act on our behalf because we were not capable of it. As a result, we need to ask ourselves two important questions. The first question is, how do we become born again? It is not by trying to do enough good. It is not by being part of a church. It is by God's grace through faith. We should confess to God that we are sinners. We should confess that Christ's death on the cross was a necessary payment for our sin. We need to believe that His death was sufficient to care for the penalty of sin. In 1 John 1, 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He will forgive us. In Romans 10, verse 9, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that He was raised from the dead, we shall be saved. The second question is, how do we know if we are born again?
The second question is, how do we know if we are born again?
If we have confessed our sin and acknowledged Jesus as Lord and Savior, Jesus lives with us.
我们若认自己的罪，而且口里承认耶稣为主的话，耶稣就会与我们同在。
With him comes new life and evidences of new life.
这样我们就有了新的生命和证据。
If we have experienced a new birth, then certain things will follow.
假如我们曾经经历过重生得救，有以下这件事情一定会发生。
There will be a desire to obey God.
我们渴慕、渴望顺服神。
There will be a desire to know God.
我们渴望认识神。
There will be a change in attitudes.
我们做人的态度也会随之有改变。
There will be an awareness of sin and sorrow about sin that we see in our lives.
在生活当中，我们会对罪和罪带来的痛苦感到敏感。
I observed another evidence this morning.
我今天看到另外一个事情。
A young woman came to me after the church service.
有一个年轻的女子在崇拜之后来到我。
She had just accepted the Lord in February.
她在二月份的时候才信主。
She was concerned about her Bible reading.
她很担心，很在意她的读经的生活。
She said she got stuck in reading Matthew.
她在读马太福音的时候比较有一定的困难。
She would read it over and over again.
她要重读，要重读很多遍。
And each time she was understanding something new.
她每一次都发现有不同的领受。
She said, "This isn't normal."
这是很正常的。
This isn't like a textbook in school.
这不是像学校里面的教材一样。
I read a textbook and I understand what it means.
我读一个教材，我很快就明白那个意思。
I read Matthew and I think I understand what it means.
我读马太福音，我也明白这是什么意思。
Then I read it a second time, and I learn more.
在我读第二次时候，我又发现有新的领受。
And a third time, and I learn more.
在第三次又有新的领受。
That's evidence of the Spirit of God working in her.
这是神的灵在我们做工的一个证据。
Always learning something new from God's Word.
在每一天有在上帝里面有新的学习和领受。
When there are difficult times like persecution.Remember that God has caused us to be born again.
当我们感到难过的时候，像我们被逼迫的时候，
we have a new life.
记住，我们已经重生。
It is His life.
这是上帝的生命。
It is eternal life.
这是一个永恒的生命。
We can praise Him for that.
当赞美上帝。
The world can only harm our bodies.
马太福音十章二十八节说：“那杀身体的，不能杀灵魂的，不要怕他们。”
God is in control of our body and our spirit.
因为我们身体和灵魂都在上帝的手里面。
There's a second reason in verse 3 to praise God.
在第三节有第二彼得前书第三节有第二个我们当赞美上帝的原因。
In causing us to be born again, God has given us living hope.
上帝重生了我们，好叫我们有活泼的盼望。
Now there's certain implications to this.
这里有几方面的含义。
We needed hope because we were hopeless before.
我们从前活在世上是没有盼望的。
Paul teaches that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12.
保罗在以弗所书2章十二节的教导。
Our condition beforehand was such that we had reason to need hope for something else.
以前我们曾经希望在别的东西身上找到人生的希望。
It is often said that people cannot live without hope.
人们经常说人活着不能没有希望。
And God has given us living hope.
上帝给了我们这份
活的盼望。This living hope has both a present and future aspect.
这份永活的盼望有两方面，现在和将来两方面。
It is our current active hoping.
这是我们现在很强烈的盼望。
The idea that it's living hope may imply this.
永活的盼望说明了这一点。
It's a current conviction.
这份信念是现在的。
Hope is what we have now about the future.
是我们现在对将来的盼望。
But there is also, therefore, that future aspect.
但是另外一面还有指的是将来的。
And here it's roughly parallel to the next phrase, an inheritance.
这里跟下面会提到的基业这个词语的意思是相类似的。
It's about the same as talking of our salvation.
这里基业的意思差不多等同救恩。
Our salvation in its fullness has not yet come. But it's tied indivisibly to Jesus Christ, who is our living Savior. Jesus was raised from the dead. In Titus 2:13 it says, "We wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Living hope arises out of the new life that comes from the new birth. It says we have received a new birth into or unto a living hope. The new birth gives us reason to hope for at least two reasons. First, it puts us into the family of God. We have a new family relationship. With God as our Father, we will not be disappointed. Second, the new birth changes us. We can observe the changes. And that strengthens our hope. The girl I spoke about this morning was strengthened by the answer I gave her. I told her this was normal. It's what we can expect. It's like looking at a beautiful picture. When we first look at it, we understand what the picture says. But each time we look at it, we see something new. And her new birth and the changes in her gave her hope. This hope is made possible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 is the classic text on the resurrection. Verses 17 through 19 of that chapter are especially appropriate here. The resurrection is the guarantee that our sins are forgiven. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, we would have no reason to hope for our own resurrection. Because he was raised, we know that his sacrifice was sufficient. Therefore, we have hope. Romans 6, verses 1 through 14 is another important passage. His resurrection is the promise of our resurrection. It is also the pattern for the newness of life in which we should now live. We should live as those who are dead to sin, but alive to God. We can mention here once again Titus
2:13.
The one who is living makes possible a living hope. Living hope is far better than the hope of this world. This world's hope can die or delude us. People around us hope for a better day. But in what do they trust? What guarantee do they have that tomorrow will be better? We have the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the guarantee that our hope will not die. People hope that their good works will win them favor with God. But such hope only deludes them. It is a hope without basis. The resurrection of Jesus Christ points to the fact that God was satisfied with the payment he made for sin. We hope because we have a solid basis for hoping. Living hope, according to Hebrews, is a firm and secure anchor for the soul or for life. An anchor is used to secure a ship when tides or storms would drive it about. The picture implies that things in life would cause the believer to drift or and perhaps even suffer shipwreck. Our hope, a living hope, is that which keeps us from drifting or being driven off. It is helpful to think about our salvation. We have been born anew. We have been born by the Spirit of God. And this should lead us to a new hope. This hope offers a secure reference point for life. There are times when life seems stormy. Doubts within us and pressures outside us can cause very rough times. Our hope, a living hope, provides for us a firm and secure anchor. We know where everything is heading and we can know our own destiny, even if the present is uncertain. Verse 4 gives a third reason to praise God. We are heirs with a heavenly inheritance. In Scripture, the term inheritance is used with two alternate emphases. Both emphases are found here. The first emphasis is on the future. An inheritance is that which the heir receives when someone dies. Our new birth places us into a new family and makes us heirs of Jesus Christ. The death of Christ gives to us, his heirs, an inheritance. By his resurrection, Jesus is alive to assure that we receive it. Although there is the sense of the present in that we are heirs, the emphasis is the future, since the fullness of salvation is yet to come. We see that here in that our inheritance is reserved in heaven. The second possible emphasis is on the present. In the Old Testament, the 12 tribes of Israel received an inheritance in the land. One commentator refers to this as a sanctioned and settled possession. The The inheritance was their share of what had been promised to Abraham.
这份契约是上帝给亚伯拉罕应许的。
It was their portion and it was guaranteed to them.
这是他们应得的份，而是上帝保证给他们的。
There was a secondary future sense.
这里将来还有第一重含义，第二重含义。
Initially, they still had to take possession of the land.
他们首先要先继承这些土地。
But it would remain theirs in the future.
然后这些土地是将会属于他们的。
The emphasis was on the assured allotment which each was given.
这里强调就是他们必定得到属于他们的份。
And the certainty of our inheritance, that is our salvation, is also found throughout this chapter.
在彼得前书这封书信里面作者所指的基业就是指救恩。
By the resurrection, we have been made heirs and receive thereby an inheritance.
因为基督的复活，我们成为他的后世，才能承受这一份基业。
It is our assured portion or allotment.
这是我们所得的份。
But we must wait for the future to receive it in its fullness.
但是我们要等到将来才会完完全全得到这份基业。
This inheritance is remarkable in contrast to any human inheritance.
这里讲的基业跟世人的概念非常不一样。
The initial threefold description uses words that are formed with negatives.
前面三种描述，朽坏、玷污、衰残都是负面的。
They highlight the contrast to a human inheritance.
这是跟真正基业的概念不一样。
The fourth description is stated positively.
最后一点是正面的。
First, it is imperishable.
第一点是首先他说天上的基业是不能朽坏的。
That means it is not able to be corrupted or not liable to decay.
意思是说是不会腐化或变质的。
We can contrast this to human inheritances.
如果我们能跟世上的基业做比较的话，就能够明白这一点。
We could inherit a house, but the wood could rot and the stones could be crumbling.
我们可能会继承我们一栋房子，但是木头是会发霉的，石头也会碎裂。
Our inheritance, our portion in eternity, will never decay or crumble.
但是我们在天上的基业是永恒的，是永远不会变质或碎裂的。
It cannot perish.
不会朽坏的。
Second, it is undefiled.
第二点，天上的基业是不能玷污的。
That means it is pure.
这意思是说是纯正的。
The word pure is used of moral purity.
这里指的是道德上的纯洁。
We can contrast the Old Testament regulations.
在旧约里面的记载是这样。
When certain dead creatures had touched or fallen into a container, the container had to be destroyed.
在旧约里，凡只是曾碰过的器皿，都会必须的遭到毁灭。
Certain types of things growing on the walls of a house required that the house be torn down.
有些在 屋子外墙生长的东西也必须给清除，否则那个房子就会拆掉。
There was defilement.
这里有肮脏的东西。
What might have been an inheritance had to be destroyed.
看上来好像是要继承的基业，有一天也会受给我毁灭。
The land was also defiled because of Canaanite idolatry.
其中一个例子就是上帝的应许地，因为迦南人拜偶像，所以也玷污了这块地，所以也给要给毁灭。
Certain sins of the people could defile it.
他们当中某些人的罪玷污了这块地。
It is not so with our inheritance.
但是我们的基业就不一样了。
It is not like the land of Canaan that first had to be cleansed.
这不像迦南地一样必须先清洁。
There is nothing that can make our inheritance unclean.
没有任何东西让这份基业不洁净。
There is a third description of our inheritance. It is unfading.
第三点，这基业是不会褪色的。
The contrasting picture is like a flower which after it peaks begins to fade.
就像花朵一样，形成一个鲜明的对比。花开得最灿烂之后就会凋谢。
Land can lose its productivity.
土地也会慢慢的变得没那么肥沃。
Silver can tarnish.
银器的光泽也会褪色。
The glory in the face of Moses faded.
甚至在摩西脸上的荣光也会褪去。
But our inheritance will not fade.
但是我们在天上的基业永不褪色。
The glory will remain.
荣光会长存。
It cannot tarnish.
不会褪色。
It will not lessen in any sense.
任何情况也不会减退。
Finally, this inheritance is guaranteed.
最后一点，这个基业是有保证的。
It is guaranteed because this inheritance is kept in heaven.
因为这基业是在天上永存的。
It is secure.
是安全的。
Nothing can assail it in heaven.
不会受到任何的东西来损坏。
This was an important reminder, especially to those undergoing persecution.
对于在受逼迫的信徒来讲，这一点是非常重要的提醒。
Their earthly possessions could be taken from them.
在地上任何的东西随时都会失去的。
What would you do if you were in the place and had 24 hours to leave the country?
你会怎么做如果你在一个国家人家要你24小时之内要离开。
How much could you take with you?
你能带走什么东西带走多少东西呢
There's no guarantee in this world.
在这个世界没有任何的保证保障。
It's best to store our treasures somewhere else.
最好把我们的财宝放在别的地方。
In heaven.
在天国里。
Jesus spoke of the same thing in Matthew chapter 6.
耶稣基督在马太福音六章讲的是同样的事情。
Do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, but where thieves break in and steal.
不要为自己积攒财宝在地上，地上有虫子咬，能朽坏，也有贼挖窟窿来偷。
Why should we strive for human inheritances?
要干嘛为地上的基业来奋斗呢
？These are passing.
这会东。这些东西都会过去的。
The inheritance in Christ is so much better.
天上基督的基业是更好的。
A fourth reason to praise God, and the last one for today, is this.
第四个要赞美上帝的原因，也是我们今天要讨论最后一个。
We as heirs are protected.
我们是因为是上帝的后裔，我们是受到保护的。
Look at verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power.
第五节说，你们这应着蒙因信蒙神能力得保守的人，能得这所预备到末世要显现的救恩。
Shielded was a military term.
英语 shielded 这个词语是一个军事用语。
It meant to keep a city safe with a garrison.
它意思是某部队守卫某个城邦。
It meant to protect it from danger or to guard it against someone from escaping.
保卫这个城邦的安全，或者是防止有人要逃走。
The ruler of Damascus had the gates guarded to prevent Paul from escaping.
在保罗时代，大马士的统治者就曾经把城门关上，为了要是防止保罗要逃走。
That's the sense of the word here.
这是这里的意思。
The passive tense implies that it is God's work.
在英语的翻译里面，保守是一个被动词。
God has not left the believer undefended.
当作是含有上帝工作的意思，上帝一直在保守信徒。
The believer is protected and therefore is certain to receive his inheritance.
所有信徒都是受到上帝的保护，因此他们肯定能得到这份基业。
In light of the rest of the letter, shielded does not mean escape from persecution.
但是纵观这份彼得的书信，保守没有半点逃避的意思。
We are not kept from trials in this world.
我们在世上会有试炼。
But our position with God is secure.
但是我们跟上帝的关系是稳固的。
Jesus promised that nothing could remove us from His hands.
耶稣说，没有任何东西可以让我们与神的爱隔绝。
Paul speaks of this as well in Romans chapter 8.
保罗在罗马书八章三十八至三十九节是这么讲：因为我深信，无论是死是生，是天使是掌权的，是有能的，是现在的事，是将来的事，是高处的，是低处的，是别的受造之物，都不能叫我们与神的爱隔绝。这爱是在我们的主耶稣基督里。
This shielding, though by the power of God, is through our faith.
这份保守虽然是上帝的大能，但我们也得有信心的才能成就。
This points to our responsibility.
这里讲的是我们自己的责任。
Whereas God is actively shielding us, we appropriate this shield by faith.
事实上上帝一直在保守我们，但是我们也应该用信心来回应。
Faith is our act of trusting God.
信心是我们信靠上帝的行动。
We accept what God has said as true and we act upon it.
我们相信上帝的话语是真实的，所以我们也当照样进行他所说的话。
This is the example of those in the past who lived by faith and looked for their inheritance in God.
我们可以在圣经看到很多信心伟人的例子和他们所得的之后所得的基业。
You could read Hebrews chapter 11 for examples of this.
比如说一个例子就在希伯来书十一章里面。
The goal of this protection is our salvation.
这份保护的目的，是我们救恩能完全的成就。
Again, this salvation has both a present and a future aspect.
这里的救恩，再次讲是有两方面，一个是现在，一个是将来。
We are now saved in that we are now born again.
我们现在已经得救了，我们在上帝里面有一个崭新的位置。
We have now a new position with God.
我们在上帝有一个崭新的位置。
We have His life now.
我们现在有他的生命。
We will be saved in that we have yet to receive our inheritance in full.
这就将来还需完全的成就。
We will yet be fully changed.
到时候我们会完全被改变。
We will yet be glorified.
我们会被荣耀。
All that we shall be and shall have is not yet here.
将来会成就的或将来我们拥有的今天还没有完全发生。
We are children of God now.
我们现在是上帝的儿女。
We will become like Him.
我们会越来越像他。
When we are facing struggles, even persecution, it's still appropriate that we praise God.
当我们现在面对困境的时候，甚至是受逼迫的时候，我们仍然当赞美上帝。
In fact, it is helpful to praise God.
事实上，赞美上帝是对我们有帮助的。
We need to take the time to remember what He has done for us.
我们应当记住上帝在我们的人生里面为我们做过什么。
Where will our treasure be?
我们的财宝该放在哪里呢？
Will we remember that our true treasure is in heaven?
我们会不会记得我们真正的财宝是在天上吗？
Where our treasure is, our hearts will be.
圣经是怎么讲？我们的财宝在哪里，我们的心也在哪里。
When we are concerned with this world, our lives will be consumed with worry.
当我们的心是在这个世界的时候，我们的生命就会充满。
And we should not worry.
我们应当一无挂虑。
And we need not worry.
我们不需要忧虑。
We need to set our hearts on God.
我们需要把我们的心放在上帝里面。
Amen.
Amen.